You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
In the Octagon, out in San Francisco, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle.
Do you like not care about your hygiene? Is that what we're hearing here?
I'm actually an obsessive hand washer.
Or maybe the best team in the MLS.
Wait a minute. No, Cashman, that's wrong.
Why?
Because, no, that's absolutely wrong.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on SiriusXM FC, Channel 85 and MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, the guys, as always, Dave Goss, Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle, and this is a special podcast. It will occupy, I expect, 1/18th or so of your time between right now, which is about noon Eastern time on Thursday, and 9:30 p.m. Eastern, which is when the U.S. national team kicks off against Ecuador in a quarterfinal that could see them move on to what we think will probably be a semifinal against Argentina, or flame out and reignite all those Chicken Little conversations that everybody seems to have every
Just
time the
come
U.S.
come on the
loses.
Show early and offend Venezuela.
Do I?
Classic Andrew Wiebe. Classic
Hey,
Andrew
look,
Wiebe.
Venezuela's got a chance, baby. They got a chance.
They are the Canada of South America, so it makes sense that Wiebe would immediately start offending them.
It's just natural to him.
Yeah, it's second nature, really. You can watch this game, of course, on FS1, Unimas, and UDN, U.S. Ecuador, rematch of that friendly that they played in the lead-up to Copa America Centenario. Everything is on the line. This is a knockout game. This is what we live for, I think, as U.S. soccer fans, as just soccer fans. This is when it gets really fun, when everything is on the line. A quick note for you as you're watching this game. If it is tied, if they end regulation even, there will not be extra time. That's a little bit different from normal. They're going straight to PKs in this tournament, so beware of that. That'll kind of ramp things up as you get to the end of regulation. I think the stakes then will raise and maybe be a little bit more hectic or maybe a little bit more conservative as teams see no opportunity to jump back in. This is our preview of the game. You probably heard us talk all about this thing on Monday, but we figured in order to serve you, the fans, our listeners, we would come back and kill some time here and walk back through the game. So let's start with the U.S., guys, and let's start with the stakes. A win means what? A loss means what? Doyle, is this already a success or is this game – Is it contingent on this game?
I think it's a layered question. And look, obviously the outcome tonight and the way that the outcome happens tonight is going to affect whether it's perceived as a success or just we hit the bar. But I actually take more positives out of this regardless than I took out of the World Cup or obviously last year's Gold Cup, because I think there's actually a process for Jurgen Klinsmann now. We can all speculate about where that process came from, but he seems to have identified the core of his team, and he seems to have identified the best positions for most of them. And because of that, he also seems to have identified the best lineup, the best formation. And I think that that's something that I never saw from Jurgen Klinsmann in 5 years. I will be bummed if we lose tonight, and I reserve the right to tweet my fury if we don't see Christian Pulisic and Darlington Nagby. But for the first time under Klinsmann, I do kind of feel like we're headed in the right direction. And to me, that is a success.
Certainly so. I mean, just to see a roadmap sort of put out. Now, the thing about Jurgen is you're never sure that roadmap is going to hold from camp to camp and tournament to tournament, but we've seen a consistent lineup. We've seen a center back pairing that looks to be, at least has the makeup that could go to 2018 and be very, very effective. In Russia, we've seen Michael Bradley drop. We've seen, Chiasi Zardes and Bobby Wood a little bit out of positions on the wing, but at times be effective, and Clint Dempsey score big goals. That's what we expect from the U.S. But, Dave, what if Ecuador blows out the U.S.? And I'm just going to throw that scenario out there.
If they blow out the U.S.?
Because I think we're operating under the assumption that if they lose, it's probably going to be a narrow loss.
Yeah, I don't think either team's going to blow each other out. But you're saying in that hypothetical?
If it happens, yeah. This is where we get to play with the hypotheticals,
yeah.
Right?
Does that
erase what has happened as far as what Matt said, as far as that foundation and roadmap and path that Jurgen seems to be on? Will it push him off that roadmap?
Well, that's the question, right? No, if he steps in the next game and starts the exact same lineup or similar lineup.
Or tweaks a little bit, but
yes,
keeps those partnerships
right.
That are good.
No, then it's not. If it throws him off of it, I think the feeling for the fans, it'll erase a lot, if not all, of what has happened. similar to the Jamaica loss at the Gold Cup. It'll bring people back to that.
Especially the casual fans. Because
yeah. But wait a minute. Didn't the Jamaica loss at the Gold Cup reinforce the bad play we had already been seeing?
Yeah, but Doyle, in the World Cup, they got out of the group and everyone felt great, and then they got they didn't get destroyed on the scoreline, but they got killed by Belgium, and everyone started talking about the possession numbers and the passing numbers. I know that you were seeing that before, but I think that
was a small group of people. Still, I think that was a small group of people after the World Cup. I think most people looked at that and said, whoa, Tim Howard, whoa, Belgium's really good, and we stood toe-to-toe
but
and we had a chance to win.
But if they get killed in this game,
I know.
Then you look at it and you say, we blew out Costa Rica, and that's basically it. We held on against Paraguay. We lost to Colombia and got blown out by Ecuador. That'll be the tournament, right?
Yeah, it would.
And I think that's how you'll see it if there's no silver lining at all from this third game. Because I think the Paraguay game, wherever this game goes, can be looked at in two ways. One is we did our job and we got the win, and the other is we couldn't really take care of Paraguay.
It was an indication that we weren't quite good enough.
Yeah.
Yep,
and,
that's a good point.
And I think the Costa Rica and Colombia games are on the two extremes.
Let's look at the game, obviously. Let's look at the lineup, because that's what we like to break down. That's what people are thinking about ahead of this game tonight. Remember, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, FS1, Unimas, and UDN, all the coverage right here, MLSsoccer.com. Really, the only question mark, I think, guys, is at right back, where DeAndre Yedlin is suspended. Michael Orozco came in against Paraguay. He immediately got a yellow card. He is what he is at this point. We know what kind of player he is for the U.S. He's been around for a long, long time. Doyle, where does Jurgen go? Does he split up that center back pairing and maybe move Jeff Cameron wide? How does he approach this?
I think that would be the absolute worst solution for this, is to break up the center back pairing, because that has been the strength of the U.S. so far. I don't think we've given up a run of play goal in the last five games, and it's largely because of Brooks and Cameron. So I think you keep that together. You keep Fabian Johnson at left back. There were better choices to go with there at the start of the tournament, but at this point he has chemistry and continuity, so you keep that. And you bring Orozco in. I think at this point you want to make as few changes as possible. And to the people who are saying, yeah, but we lose Yedlin's attacking ability, DeAndre Yedlin wasn't attacking in this tournament anyway. He was barely getting forward. So I think having a stay-at-home right back like Orozco, who, even though he's limited and even though he hasn't played much this year, has come up big in the past for the U.S., especially under Jurgen Klinsmann, I think that's such an easy call, and I hope Jurgen doesn't overthink it.
I think that's 1A. I think Orozco, and I think 1B is Beisler at left back and Fabian Johnson at right back, because Beisler played left back against Ecuador, and after that game, he said, I'm fully comfortable with Matt Beisler there, and now I know that I have options.
But did you see the turnovers Beisler was making in that game?
Doyle, are you asking me to put him out there? We're talking about what Jurgen Klinsmann has said and what Jurgen Klinsmann will most likely do.
So do you think he would do that? Or do you think that's 1B, as you said?
I think that's 1B.
How surprised would you be? Is that like jaw-dropping at the...
I would be more surprised if Cameron was playing right back than if Beisler was playing left back and Fabian Johnson was playing right back.
Steve Birnbaum, is an Edgar Castillo, are either of those guys in the running here for you guys?
I think Castillo's over Birnbaum. I think the chance of Castillo playing left back is a little bit higher than Birnbaum or Orozco playing center back and Cameron playing right back, which would make no sense.
Right.
Which was why it'll probably happen.
I think you'd see Birnbaum in at center back before you see Orozco in at center back, personally. I think he's starting to build a comfort level. I don't think either of those will happen. I'm with you, Doyle. I think Orozco comes in on the right. I do have questions, though, for that decision. Because, look, if you have Jefferson Montero running at this guy, or you have Antonio Valencia swap up sides and go at him, I don't think he can handle them. And I think he's a yellow card, maybe even a red card waiting to happen. What if he gets a yellow card early in the first half?
Well, here's my guarantee. If Michael Orozco starts this game, there's no controversy for the semifinal if they win, because he's getting a yellow card in this game.
Yes.
There's no chance he gets through this thing unscathed.
I agree.
Which is fine, because that's his job. Yeah. But there's no chance he gets through it unscathed.
Yeah, very much so. I think there are some question marks there. We are assuming that the front line is the same, that the midfield is the same, that it's Bradley, Jones, Bedoya, Wood, Dempsey, Zardes. Is that assumed?
I think it'll be more of the 4-1-3-2 than the 4-3-3, with Bradley holding in front of the center backs and Jones going box to box, and then Zardes on one wing and Bedoya on the other wing, and then you know, Dempsey and Wood as the partnership up top. Look, he's changed to that. You know, he changed to it about the 25th minute against Costa Rica, and I think maybe even earlier against Paraguay. And I think it was the right call in both cases. And why not go with it from the start in this one? Because it has been the best way that the U.S. has come out. And look, honestly, it would be kind of crazy. As much as I want to see Darlan Kanagbe, it would be kind of crazy to change any of those guys from the start in this one, because it's been working. It really has been working for the last 180 minutes for the U.S., especially defensively. And the number one job in this game is to keep Ecuador off the board.
And I think the key for them in an offensive defensive way is, and what Klinsmann has said, is Zardes and Bedoya are going to actually probably stay wide and push a little bit to try and keep those Ecuador fullbacks at home. Because that's one of the other big parts, is their wingers are fantastic, but IOV gives them a ton of width, especially down that left wing, which is where Orozco Fiscal is going to be trying to figure himself out. So I think a key in not changing the lineup is how comfortable he is with those guys. And he mentioned at the World Cup, he felt Bedoya did a good job of pinning back opposing fullbacks, and that's something Zardes has been getting better at. So I think that's a key for why he's going to keep it together.
Yeah, I think you stole those words right out of my mouth. I kind of like motioned at you to let me jump in, and you said, I got this.
But I'm right with you. Look,
I don't think he goes away from those two because of the work rate, because of the fitness that both of those guys have. And in this game, with those wingers, with those fullbacks, not only are they going to have to do what you say and, you know, push forward a little bit and pin those guys back and provide a threat, which both can do. I think Zardes is a little bit more dynamic in that sense. But they're going to have to track. I mean, essentially, Zardes has played wingback at times. He's dropped all the way to the back line at times and almost been a fourth defender back there when you've had a guy like Fabian Johnson push up, when you have Jermaine Jones doing Jermaine Jones stuff, which means just kind of wandering around and looking for the ball. Their fitness, their desire, those are two things that I don't think Jurgen Klinsmann is willing to compromise on right now. So I think both of those guys will be in the lineup. I do hope, Doyle, that we see more of that 4-1-3-2, 4-4-2, however you want to look at it in this game. I think it better suits the personnel that Jurgen has, and maybe that's part of that roadmap. Maybe this helps him figure some of those things out positionally and formationally as you move into World Cup qualifying and then on to Russia. Talking about yellow cards, we kind of skipped over this. There are a number of guys that could be suspended in addition to Michael Orozco if they get a yellow. That's John Brooks, Fabian Johnson, Michael Bradley, Bobby Wood, Jermaine Jones, and Alejandro Bedoya. Any yellow card to any of those guys in this game, and they will be suspended for a potential semifinal if the U.S. were to get there. If you do not get one, yellow card's clear. My question to you guys is, who can they least afford to get a yellow, and who do we think will get a yellow? Because some of these guys will. You're going to play in the midfield against a counterattacking team, you're going to get a yellow.
And also, it would have been easier to read the names who wouldn't get a yellow. Like, this is probably three-quarters of your back line. Your entire midfield, pretty much. Basically, except for Clint Dempsey and Jeff Cameron, everyone's
in
trouble.
Yeah, it's everybody. Mm-hmm.
I think it's Brooks. You know, as great as Michael Bradley has been as a D-mid, I'm okay with Kyle Beckerman coming in there for the semifinals. As great as Jermaine Jones has been playing box-to-box, I'd love to see Darlan Kanagbe in that spot. Look, no offense to Matt Beisler, who I think had a very, very good World Cup and has been a very good player for a long time. Brooks is at a different level. Brooks is a match winner from the back. And if we go against Argentina without him, I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried about that one.
You mean Venezuela?
I have to say Brooks on top of the list, and for me, Bradley's number two. I know Beckerman can do a job, but in a game against Argentina, you just have to have an ability on the ball that, I mean, in a hypothetical, if the U.S. wins game
it's
against
all,
Argentina.
It's all very hypothetical. We will get to our predictions in just 1 second, but let's go through some of these things from the Ecuador side. There are some question marks for them. Miller Bolaño says he will be out. We're not sure whether we trust him, but, you know, it's likely he won't be there.
The manager said he'd be
out. There's some gamesmanship going down if he takes the field in this match. Jaime Iov, who's been partnering Inter Valencia up top, he is a guy who's questionable in a game-time decision, of course, according to Ecuador manager Gustavo Quinteros. I think he'll play. Cristel Valencia, you know her as our Ecuador expert in football
MLS. For the day.
Yes, our enemy for the day. I forgot about that. I said hello to her this morning.
I refused to.
Really? You just gave her the silent treatment?
I just said it in a less friendly way.
Gotcha. You just waved and frowned at her. I think Jaime Iov will play. I think that means they probably don't change much, which means Montero and Antonio Valencia on the wings, and then you have Inter Valencia and Iov up top. That's That really is, like, terrifying.
And
as a
Christian Noboa pulling the strings. He's a huge part of what they do because you can't just push midfielders wide to guard those wingers because he will find that ball. He'll open up a defense, and we all know Grayso, he can cover for him. So Noboa a lot of times doesn't have to do a ton of that defensive work. And he's a talented player as well. Got the goal against Haiti, making the late run into the box. Because Enner Valencia puts so much pressure on center backs because he's so quick. So you want to stay a step ahead of him, which means you're quicker to leave, and it means there's an even bigger gap. That's where Michael Bradley has to live.
In some ways, Doyle, is having an Orozco in this game as opposed to Yedlin not a good thing, but does it work for the U.S. because you know he's not going to get caught upfield, or at least you assume so?
Yeah, I mean, it can kind of simplify it, but it also simplifies things for Ecuador, and that's the worry, because you don't want Walter Iovi to set up shop in the attacking third, and he could totally do that from left back. And if that happens, then Montero drifts everywhere and pulls the U.S. apart. And look, the U.S. are still prone to coming apart a little bit defensively and just trying to use their athleticism to smother problems instead of figuring out problems before they happen. Look, and that's the type of thing. That's why you wish that Klinsmann played this lineup or something close to it in the friendlies, so that they could get used to problem solving rather than just blowing through other teams athletically. I mean, it's look, every soccer game is kind of a chess match, or maybe just checkers, but it's still some stuff you got to figure out. And with Montero playing the way he has been playing, it presents quite a few challenges.
And I think it's a little actually unfortunate for the U.S. in this one that it can't go to extra time, because as much as I'm not wild about Orozco filling in for Yedlin, I think the U.S. has good depth on this team. And I look at Ecuador's team, especially missing Bolaños and maybe missing IOV. You have maybe one or so game changers off the bench. You have Michael Arroyo, who's a great free kick taker, decent off the wing. But I think if this game hadn't extended 30 minutes, the U.S. could bring in a Nagby, could bring in a guy like Wando who can score, bring in a guy like Zusi who's already scored in this tournament. But now without that extra time, and also legs wear a little bit less. I mean, both teams have played consistent lineups throughout, but Ecuador had to play a day after the U.S. and then fly out to Seattle from the East Coast as well. So I think a lot of those effects are lost that could have been positives for the U.S.
You mentioned flying out to Seattle. If you're Garth Lagerwey, do you try to get Montero and maybe Juan Cazares to just stay in Seattle and be the two DP attackers that he's been talking about?
Hey, guys, we've got a number 10 opening.
This is a great city, huh? You guys should stick around. Just a couple days here. You'll just see. We'll take you out to dinner once or twice. Yeah, it could be a good idea for them. Mentioning Seattle.
Do you like Cedar Plank salmon?
Yes, I'm sure they do. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Seriously.
Yeah, who doesn't? Look, it's going to be a nice crowd for the U.S. in Seattle. There's no doubt about that. I did see three or four Ecuador jerseys on the subway here in New York City on the way, and
My whole neighborhood's Ecuador.
I thought about talking trash, and I was like,
I've been going to an Ecuador restaurant for their games the whole group stage, and every time I go, I talk to people, and they're like, you should come back. I don't think I'm invited back.
Yeah,
tonight,
especially if the U.S. win this match. Let's go straight to the predictions, guys. 5 wins, no draws, no losses for the U.S. at CenturyLink Field all time. Will they do it again? Will they go on to the semifinals? Who's going to fall on that side? Who's going to fall on the advancement side?
I think the U.S. get it done. I think that they'll give up a goal to a busted offside trap to Valencia, but they'll pull one back on a set piece and another just the Clint Dempsey special, something unexpected in the box. So I think the U.S. advanced 2-1.
That's my hopeful prediction. I don't think it's going to happen in this game. I just think that the speed and the skill of those Ecuador wingers and attackers are going to pin the U.S. back for long stretches, and they're going to find a way through. In a large part, I think it'll be good if Ecuador has more of the possession, because I think that sets up the U.S. to defend better. But I just think in the end, the quality up top for Ecuador, the physicality, they've been missing chances all tournament. At some point, those chances are going to start going in. I feel like this is that game, and Cristel's going to just rub it in mercilessly.
But let me flip this, though. Their defense has not been great.
Yeah.
They have been, I mean, way over-aggressive and kind of scattered, and they rely upon individual defensive plays rather than a really good structure. Don't you think that Wood and Dempsey can kind of carve them up if they get out in transition.
But the question is, how many touches, how much possession are they going to get? How many opportunities are they going to get to go after them? Because I do believe they can.
Yeah,
and
I
do believe if the U.S. controlled the ball that they'd get a lot of opportunities. But I don't think they're going to. And that's why I kind of disagree with you, because I think that this is an inefficient finishing Ecuador team. And the more they have the ball, the more chances they're going to get, the more opportunities they're going to get. I think it's going to go similar to the way you said it. I actually see this one going to PKs, and that's a crapshoot from there. But I felt confident about the U.S. Then I started getting ready for this preview, and it's just we started breaking down Ecuador and the U.S., and there's a lot of dangerous talent on that Ecuador team.
I mean, the nice thing about this quarterfinal, I think it is very even. I think it's going to be a game that goes back and forth. I think both teams will have their chances. I just have this feeling that Ecuador is going to find that one or two moments that they need to win this game. Doyle's on the other side. Dave, you're right.
I'm calling a tie.
That's perfect. We haven't jinxed anybody. Everybody is safe in this one. Remember, watch this one Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, FS1, Unimas, UDN. We will be back on Monday to discuss it more. Also, check out the special on Thursday. It's all MLS. The league is back. Tune in this weekend.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio.